Well, I think Ross used a really important word, and that is remember. So today is the day in our calendar for 2021. Okay, I got the right year, 2021, that we marked out to remember the resurrection of Jesus. And so in church life, right, we've got lots of traditions around that, and just praying, okay, Lord, how would we worship you today? One thing I think we get to do is this idea of worshiping together is huge, because the idea of worship is to say that I'm lesser than the thing that I worship. It's really about our posture. And so no matter what songs we play or who speaks or which building we do it in or if we do it in no building, none of those things should be an excuse not to worship. And so this day we remember that Jesus, the Son of God, right, rose from the dead. That's pretty awesome. What's tricky, right, is we have these traditions, guys. So today I want to talk to you about the resurrection, which is traditional. But honestly, I think we can't forget this day. We have to remember every time we meet, it's really based on this hope of a resurrection. If there's no resurrection, then we're wasting our time the other Sundays of a year. And so we can't lose track of that, that our hope is really in the fact that there is resurrection. Otherwise, there's just death and end. So today, let me just pray before we get in here. I want to talk to you about the hope of the resurrection. Jesus, we thank you for your love and your patience and your sacrifice. Heavenly Father, I pray, I'm thankful for everyone visiting today. I pray that you will have your way in our lives, God, that you'll use whatever words that you gave me and whatever words are written in the scripture here to touch the hearts of men and women that you created, that you love, eternal beings created by you for a purpose. I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. So let's talk about that. It's like, okay, God, what do you want me to talk about? Well, let's go back to the beginning. Okay, today what I do want to do is I expect I'll probably tell you absolutely nothing new. Okay? It's not going to be sexy or fancy. It's going to be, like, true. And I pray that it stews in you an excitement, a gratefulness, as well as a respect and a reverence and the right type of worshipful posture, if that makes sense. But let me just take you back to this. The Bible that we read from, this is recorded, the story of creation. It's in a book we call Genesis, about beginnings. Genesis 1:27 reminds us this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Okay, why is that important, Will? Let me ask you. I could just lecture at you, but that's really no fun. Why is that important that God created us and he created us in his image? To you. Yeah, sorry. We're not here by mistake. What was that? He tells us what our relationship is to him. Especially, you guys, Easter, man, you guys looking your best today. Men and women, beautiful and handsome. Like, God is all those things. He loves you. I love what you said there, because look what I wrote next. That wasn't a staged response. We were created for a purpose by God. What it said is God created us, and what he did with man, he created, right, the planet, the creation. There's the stars, the moon, the oceans, the lands, the mountains, the rivers, men, animals. And then he finished with the woman, and once he was done, he goes, okay, now it's good. We're done, okay? Got the woman. We got everything. Men and women were supposed to work together, being complements, helping one another to rule over creation and take care of it. And at the end of this, it was good, and you were created for a purpose. We can't lose track of that. And no matter what's happened from that day to this day, the blueprints for how you were created were not changed. There's not a recording in the Bible where after the fall of man, God says, now I'm going to create a less important, less loved being. Okay? Don't You can't lose track of that. You in you. The breath of God was created in his image for a purpose. And so when you come to church, we've really done a disservice because they've hired some holy man, right? And some musicians to play beautifully and to be smart for you and to be created in God's purpose for you when that is not what it's supposed to be. So I'm glad that you're visiting today. But you need to hear this too, that God loves you and he created you for a purpose. He loves you so much he created you in his own image. And you get a glimpse of that if you become a parent. And you see that little creature, that's little mini you at times in you. Sometimes you're grateful and sometimes you're like, oh, God help us, right? So, but you don't, there's nothing you love more. Now, because he loved us so much, he went on to say in Genesis, this is recorded Genesis 2, 16 and 17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Okay, spoiler alert, what happened? You guys know this story? What did they do? They ate of the fruit, right? Yeah, well, we could go into that and talk about that for a long time. They ate of the fruit, but I think something that's important to, it says you, I capitalize this, you shall surely die. Did they die as soon as they ate the fruit? No, okay. So let's geek out a little bit. Let's look at the Hebrew words. This was written in the Hebrew language originally, right? And then we've translated it. And sometimes our English does a poor job. So really what this you shall surely die means, so the Hebrew in the biblical text really kind of says dying you shall die. And it's this idea that once this happened, once you did what you were created not to do, once you broke out of the protection and the presence of God, once you stopped doing things his way, you were damaged. You're beginning to die. Dying, which is what we're all doing right now. You shall surely eventually die. That's one part. The other part is what happened is for the first time, men and women experienced spiritual death. Why is that important? Well, please understand this, and it's been said, if you look to your left and you look to your right and you look forward and you look back, what you're going to see is a creation of God created in his image, breathed to life by God himself, and parts of that person are eternal. I believe this. And why this is important is to understand that every one of you, whether you accept this or not, we're not created for this world system that we're in. And don't fool yourself. Even this right here is a Christian-flavored world system that we're doing here. Let's keep humility about that. Right? You were created for more than this, more than I can give you here. Every one of you, there's a part of you that will live well past your body. But since then, your body is dying. Ultimately, what happened, the church word we use is sin. And the idea of sin, it can be used a lot of different ways. But ultimately, really, the root word has to do with missing the mark. Like, here's what the aim was, you've missed it. So we use it in terms to describe our willful disobedience of God, doing evil or wishing to, or failing to do what is good and right in accordance to his law. So all the things that we do that aren't in line with what we were created to do, they cause damage. And now this is what we're left with. Dying, we will surely die. Wow, well, I'm really glad I came today. This is a great, feel-good conversation. No Easter bunny? No Cadbury eggs? Nothing? No. Let me ask you this. What are the implications of this death sentence? Not rhetorically. I'm asking you, like, actually, the answer. Help me out. Separation from God, okay. What else? Great pain? Yeah. Consequences for your actions on earth? Eternal hell? Torment. This is great. You know what I love about that? There's nothing wrong with the church words, but we got some real words here too. Okay. We got some real words that hit home and actually really mean something. Okay, this is extremely personal to me, and maybe pastors aren't supposed to do this, but my daughter's friend died this week. She was 12. Like, 12-year-old should not die. But this is what it means. Marriages shouldn't break up, but they do. Or they shouldn't be that hard. Families shouldn't, like, be fighting, but they will today. Like, here's how I wrote it. This life, this world, it doesn't work. It doesn't deliver what it promises. I mean, you can get a bunch of money. What happens when you get a bunch of money?
Spend it.
You spend it, you want more, right? You got to give something to get that kind of money, right? You pay a lot. You pay a lot. You pay a lot taxes. You pay a lot in your life. Like, you want to work 70 hours a week, right? The reality, like I jokingly say this, when I was going to college and going to become a big businessman, I thought I could live in a suburb, go be a corporate VP, still make it home to be a soccer coach for my kids and love my wife well. Yeah, good luck. You're smoking some serious crack if you think you can do all that. I played a lot of Call of Duty. I want to be a soldier. My friends who became soldiers missed the birth of their kids. You don't get to go be G.I. Joe and a super awesome dad always present. You can't do everything. Not because you don't want to, because the world is broke. It doesn't work. It never delivers. There's not enough sex. There's not enough money or power. I don't care how handsome you were, you will stop being as handsome. Gravity will take over, or as beautiful. You could always get a little more definition in your six-pack abs. You could always win another championship. Who won the Super Bowl 3 years ago? Unless you think about it, you don't remember because it's a new year and everyone's starting over again. Okay, I don't mean to hit on any of these things, but what you need to hear today, why I have you here to listen to, is to speak this truth to you. The world doesn't work. It doesn't deliver what it promises. I don't care how much I blew dry my hair, you know, and treated it. It went away. It fell out. My kids, I couldn't have better, but they'll grow up and move out. Like, if they're my hope. My wife, way too hot for me. Way too awesome. But still, we drive each other crazy. Your wife, beautiful, great, yeah. There's still 1,000 other women who are beautiful. You guys will drive each other crazy. Somewhere, some guy's getting tired of that woman too, right? So, and like, same thing with a man. I don't care how handsome, you know, how big of a fireman he is. Yeah, right? He gets sick, he throws up, he has diarrhea. He's not as sexy as you think, okay? Like, this world does not work. This world does not work. Well, what did Pastor Will tell me today? Here, say, this world doesn't work. Repeat that after me. Okay, ready? On three, and we'll say it together. This world doesn't work. One, two, three.
This world doesn't work.
Awesome, it doesn't. Okay. Jesus, he had some friends. Two sisters, Mary, Martha. They had a brother, Lazarus. He was friends with them. Long story short, he finds out Lazarus is sick. Not in a huge rush to get there. By the time he gets there to go see him, Lazarus died. Martha's kind of all upset talking to Jesus. If you were here, Lord, I know that he would have survived. So here he is at a funeral. And Jesus said to her, this is recorded in John 11, 25 through 26. So if you're making notes, you can make a note of that. Jesus said to her, he's talking to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And then what did he do after that? He raised him from the dead. Okay? Now, I wish that would happen to the loved ones that we have that we lose. I wish that we would always see him resurrect your health, because that life doesn't work. There's cancer. There's disease. 12-year-olds die, and marriages break up. And I wish every one of those, Jesus would come and touch and heal and resurrect, but they aren't all resurrected in this age. And that's why Jesus says, if you believe in me, even though you're still probably going to die, consequence, right? The cancer might still get you. Marriages might still break up. 12-year-olds might still die. There's a great hope. And that only makes sense if you realize that you are created for eternity. So if you take eternity on a timeline, and whether your time here is 80 years or 12, you still get with God, right? For the rest of eternity. Now when we start to look at that, then there's a hope. So when relationships break up, or marriages break up, or you get sick, or you lose someone that's close to you, or you made a mistake and you invested too much in your work and not enough in people, or you made a mistake and you were lazy and you caused financial ruin for your family, if you made a mistake and you fell into sexual sin, if you made a mistake and you got on drugs, if you made a mistake and you got hooked to alcohol, if you made a mistake, right, in your pride, there's hope. See, for the wages of sin, Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here's where it's something, guys, this is where it blows my mind and yours in a way, but because of this sin, because of what happened, the only way to satisfy the consequence of this fall is that we have to die. That's not feel good. They didn't tell me that one in Vacation Bible School, right? Like, you got to die. Like, sin will have its consequence and do its work till you die. I think if we looked at it like that, we'd be like going up to 90-some-year-olds, like, lucky. Right? Because they're getting close. They're almost done with the whole body, you know, thing. It's like they're barely holding on. And you're like, lucky. Yeah, right? No. But instead, in our culture, we're like, lucky 13-year-old, like, sucker. They got to go through all this crap, right, to get there. Like, they're not going to shed that body and finally be over the whole curse of sin. Now, that's one thing. Your body will die. And for most of us, unless we're, you know, here at the time of when Jesus comes back, right? And there's a resurrection, and you can argue and make separate churches on when that happens. I'll leave that to you. But it's going to happen eventually. And if you're alive, then maybe you don't, your body doesn't have to die. But the rest of us, your bodies are dying. But here's where you have a choice. Here's what's powerful. Even though the wages for sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life, spiritually, and with a new body. So this is why it's important. So why resurrection? Everyone knows the story. Like, Jesus died on the cross, raised. It's like mystical. It's crazy. It kind of sounds like Paul Bunyan or something, right? And so we put it in that same category as like imaginary. But it can't be imaginary if it is, then we got no hope. If it is, then we're wasting our time and we should not do worship together. Like, we're wasting our time. Death had to come to pay for sin. But here's what God did. God said, which blows my mind, I've got a standard you can't live up to. Right? And you're going to try, and you won't make it, and I'll give you all these little systems and rules, and all those will just show you that you need to be rescued. But he goes, get this, I got a sweet plan. I'm going to send my son, God in man form, to rescue you. Oh, great. So he's going to take over the world and create a kingdom and make sure no one dies and everyone's healthy? No, he's going to come get killed. Well, how does that work, God? Well, someone had to die to cover my sins and yours. And God said, I'll do it. God says, I'll do it. I'll be the spotless, blameless lamb to pay for your sins. And so it went like this. This is recorded in John 19, beginning with verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all now was finished, right? He's lived, what, 34 years, roughly, we imagine. For the last 3 years, we see recorded some of the inner workings of the ministry of his life. And now he comes to this place, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put the sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. Verse 30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, what are the three words? It is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. But we can't rush through that. Why that's so powerful? He did it. He did it. Jesus made a way for my sins and your sins to be forgiven. Right? Wow. That's Good Friday. Then okay-ish Saturday, right, Tyler? Okay-ish Saturday was like he was in the grave. Okay-ish because you didn't know what was going to happen, right? And then we've got Sunday, right, which is the resurrection day. And then we go on, I'm going to show you Luke 24, where he talks about this. Luke 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, let me stop a second. Imagine this guy making all these claims. He dies. You watch him die. They put him in a tomb. And then you're hanging out with your friends saying, what just happened? What just happened? Was this guy messing with us the whole time? Verse 1, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. By themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. While they stood perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linens cloths by themselves, and then he went home marveling at what had happened. I love it, right? It's kind of funny. It's like that joking saying I remember people have said. It goes like this, women be talking, right? Women be talking. So you got all the women, they get up, they go take all the ointments to prepare Jesus' body because Sabbath, they couldn't go do work. Now it's Sunday, they can go do work. They've got to kind of continue preparing for burial. They get there, the huge stone's out of the way. No Jesus, just the cloths. Two men dressed for Easter in dazzling clothes, right? They're talking to them. And they're like, why are you looking for him here? He's alive. You're looking among the dead for the living. He's alive. So they go back and they tell the guys, the 11, which are who? The apostles, right? Because one of them betrayed Jesus and hung himself. So we got 11 left. And they're telling them, and they're basically, okay, yeah, whatever, women be talking, right? So, but then you got Peter, who really, really, really needs this redemption because the last interaction he had with Jesus was this. Jesus, I'll die with you, man. They kill you, they're going to kill me too. And he says, no, you won't, Pete. As a matter of fact, you'll deny me three times before running away, right? Before the crow of the rooster. He denies them three times. His heart breaks. He runs off. He doesn't die with Jesus. So he's like, I sure hope these women are telling the truth, right? He like runs. He runs because he's desperate for a new start. And he gets there and he finds Jesus is not there. Well, Jesus reveals himself. So kind of fast forward to verse 44 in Luke 24. This is Jesus speaking. And then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that the repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So there's a lot there, right? He's telling them that God's promising that as I leave, he's going to send the Holy Spirit on you and he's going to be with you. So, but what he told them they're going to have to do is proclaim the repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So really reading this, guys, the Lord just put it on my heart. Here's what I have to tell you, like amongst all these words. I got to proclaim this, that the awesome news about this resurrection is that Jesus, because he conquered sin and death, there's an available fresh start. Available forgiveness for your sins. That even though your body is living, that your spirit would be made new. And that you would rest in the hope of a future physical resurrection where you'd be with Christ. But here's where we get it mixed up. This doesn't just happen to you. It's like the whole world's not getting this. Oh, Jesus did it, I'm good now. And I'm not even saying it right. Let me back up a second. There's an offer to you and I. And this is what if you've been here the previous weeks, we've been kind of parked on this whole regeneration, rebirth, renewal idea, because I believe in my heart that it's so important that you and I have to understand, one, that there's an available new start, rebirth, forgiveness for your sins, new spiritual life in Christ available to each one of us, but that there's only one way to that, and it's death and surrender. And it sounds harsh, but it's what it really is. There has to be this word repentance. It's this changing of mind. It's not, oh, I'm sorry. It's like, I'm changing my mind. I'm coming to the realization that this life does not work. This life, this world, the world, it doesn't work. It does not deliver what it promises. So I quit. I want what's offered. I want what's offered. And so as someone who's supposed to bring this to you week after week, all I can say is I don't know when you're ready. Like, I don't know if you got enough dose of this life doesn't work yet. Or if you still got to figure it out some more. So if you still got to figure it out some more, that's awesome. Keep coming. I'm here for you. We're here for you. We'll cry with you. We'll laugh with you. We'll make jokes. That's fine, but maybe you're ready. That's what the resurrection is. The resurrection is Jesus didn't lie, and now he has all the power and all the authority in earth and in heaven to do what he promised he would do when the world lies and doesn't do what it promises. And the stronger willed we are, the more capable we feel in our own power, the slower it becomes to get to that reality. So I put a slide here, it's just blank, because I don't want to script what I would say right here. So that's why I just asked the Lord to speak to you. But what I want more than anything, I don't want to manipulate you. I don't want to make you feel guilty and feel shame. That just doesn't work. Like, it's his love that leads us to change our mind. It's his love that leads us to change our mind. And where I would be wrong, my friends, is like, when I start saying that to you about life doesn't work, if you really take this in and you start to ask, yeah, the world that's promised to me, it doesn't work. Its context, where it collides with you right now, is different than the person maybe next to you. Like, I'm strongly thinking about a 12-year-old girl who died and how heartbreaking that is. Like, but if you don't know where you're not thinking about that, maybe where you're thinking about it is like, oh, in some kind of relationship. Maybe it's like in a marriage, or maybe it's a child and parent, or maybe it's a parent. Maybe you're the child, maybe you're the parent. Maybe it's like work. But God will come into your life like we talked about it and call you to die with him and to be reborn. And so I wonder today if there isn't some of you people out here that are sick and tired of the world not offering what it promises. And that you're ready to really just surrender. That's what it is. The world says, keep trying harder. Keep going. Keep pushing. Keep controlling. Keep controlling. Keep controlling. Try harder. Do better. Complain more. It just doesn't work. To make this personal, maybe, I don't know if anyone would want to add something, because this can be kind of personal, but it can be about your friend and not about you. Okay, that's fine too. How does the life not work that you see? Where is life not working in the world, what it's offering? It's broken and it's not working.
Mm.
Okay, so if I say this wrong, correct me, stop me. So what I heard Jamie say was like, we find ourselves not grateful for what we have, and we're always looking forward towards those things that we don't have, right? And that's what the world offers us. You focus on what you don't have. Get what you don't have. Get more than you have now. Get better than you have now. There's always something better and more life-giving and more joy-producing. And like, forget what it is you have now. Look forward. Is that fair to say? Yeah. And then if you get that, what happens? Then it's a new thing. What's that? You're not satisfied. Yeah. Your treadmill doesn't make you any skinnier, right? You mean the Diet Coke in one hand and the candy bar in the other is not a weight loss program? Dang. Anyone get skinnier? Did that work? No. Do you feel great about, you feel like perfect now, like all the problems are solved, right? Yeah. What other things? What's that? Time? What do you mean about time? You never have time. Hustle, hustle, hustle. Yeah. I'm not where I thought I would be at this time in my life. Anyone become a parent to think it'd fulfill them, and then you're like, wow. Now I've just hurt somebody else because I'm a huge mess, right? And I didn't get right or get in a relationship so that you'd be better. Yeah. Political unrest, right? I mean, you see that, right? Everyone's like, oh, dang, your candidate didn't win and now the world fell apart, right? It was so great before. Like whatever leader you have is going to make God come back. No, that's really not. It's still the world. Yeah. Did you have your hand raised or no? No, I love it that you guys are sharing because that's just personal. And I mean, I imagine that's what I asked the Lord, man, like put it on my heart. But you see this. And so many of us guys at one level, there's a group of us. And I'm kind of looking this way because there's lots of the youth and young people here. Like you're called to make your way in the world. And you are, right? I mean, you've got bills to pay and maybe a family or friends or to take care of yourself. And so what will I be? Who am I going to become? What will I do for a job? How will my life matter? Right? And then you get that kind of middle age where all of a sudden you're like, dang, this is not what I thought. I'm not where I thought I would be. Maybe I invested in the wrong things. And it's easy to lose hope. And then you get a little older, and maybe you feel your time has passed, and you can get caught in regret. The world is offering us youth. Yeah, the promise. How is it, guys? Everything's just perfect, right? Because, you know, you're young. Right? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it, but it's hard. We sing songs. We say things like, God is good. We sing songs like, all I want is you, God. No, we don't really. I want you as long as you give me the things I want, God. What's that?
Or need,
right? Yeah, definition of need is another issue, right? So I think this resurrection Sunday, here's the best thing about that. It's what God is showing me. I'd love to tell you that you put your hope in Jesus and all those things, just they happen, right? But they won't always just happen right or go like you want them to go. Chris, my brother, what if you never lose the weight? Is God still good? Yeah. What if you never get more money? I mean, young people, please don't take this as disrespect, but no one actually when they're 13 is like, you know what I want to be when I grow up? A bus driver for the public school system. Okay? Do you know anyone that says that? That's their goal. However, there's many people who do that because they've learned that they love it and because it fits the need of their family and they support themselves. And so it's glorious, right? But they wanted to be an astronaut when they were kids instead of this. But the reality of life is, like, doesn't matter if it doesn't work out as you want it to work out, because honestly, in the end, this life, other than you finding your way back home to God, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So we go to church and we go to places, holy man, bless me so that the things that I want will happen. What if they don't happen? This is what God asked me when I look in the mirror. I'm not preaching down at you. I'm down here with you. What if your kids aren't okay? What if you don't get married? What if you never make good money? What if you don't have a home? What if your husband isn't what you need? What if your wife isn't? What if the country isn't what you think it should be? What if you get sick or lose an arm or end up in a wheelchair? Is God still good? Oh, yeah. But it's hard to understand because it just seems like all you do is you want that. Let me put it to you two ways. If you've been wrestling with this, stop. Like, surrender. Say, uncle. That's today. Say, uncle. Lord, you win. Say, uncle. Tell somebody you're saying, uncle. Tell me. Tell someone you love. Tell Randy and Sandy in the back there that you're saying, uncle. And you want to surrender. And start going that way instead. Maybe that's not hitting you where you're at. Maybe the prayer is this: God, your resurrection means that whatever happens here isn't my only hope. Your resurrection means that what happens here is not my only hope. Yes. See how beautiful that is? If you're 13, it doesn't matter what you are when you grow up, as long as you're His. If you're 98 and you never were what you thought you would be, it doesn't matter. You're His. There's hope of the resurrection. That's enough talking. Let's pray. I'm going to come down with the lights, not to trick you, just because, you know, maybe you're less embarrassed to sing out. But let me invite you to one of those things. I mean, you're welcome just to sit there and just praise God with your voice. But maybe today is the day that you just want to say, uncle. So come tell me. Well, I say, uncle. Let's pray. Let's talk about it and do what's next. Maybe all you need to do is just offer this prayer up to God, like, God, I just want you more and these other things to matter less. So, Lord, I just pray that you have your way, Lord. This Resurrection Sunday, we remember what you did and what you're still doing. So, Lord, we just invite you to have your way here and to speak to the men and the women that you created, that you love, that you know. We say this because of what you did, Lord Jesus. Amen.